and it's wonderful to be back at School of Mission. I was just, you know, I hate this idea that I'm old enough to reminisce, but I am. What can I do about it? 20 years ago, this School of Mission was our last one as directors. My husband is director of foreign missions, and I missed it. So I'm still trying to catch up with you. I had surgery that year right after General Conference and missed that School of Missions. That's when we used to have it after General Conference. But I am delighted to be here, and I thank Brother Sism and those involved in the missions work at headquarters for the invitation to come and share this time with you. I have a gentleman friend at home that would love to be here. In fact, he has called me twice since lunch to be sure that I did everything right, you know, and then to be sure that I give you his greetings. We had just come in at Wednesday night about 11 o'clock, and then I had to leave at 6 this morning, so he said he better stay home and mind the store. And you know how he is about minding the store. So he didn't get to come, but he said to tell you all, loves you, appreciates you, admires you, and praying for you. My special respect to Brother Sism, Brother Judd, Brother Rodenbush, Brother Lehman, Brother Tracy, all the RFS, all the missionaries, you're great. You're God's chosen vessels. And to share a time with you is very, very special to me. You know, right here where we are tonight is the most important business on earth. We were just in New York. We had a conference up there, and you know, those towering buildings and the people rushing to and fro and telephones on the street, and everybody is so busy and everybody just looks so important, and yet what is happening there will be gone in a wink. Over with, gone, finished, never to be resurrected. But what you're doing and what we're talking about and what you're involved in is going to last forever and forever. And I just appreciate you and what you have done. Now let me tell you how I got here. Brother Sism is so nice. Have you ever tried to tell Brother Sism no? He was at our women's conference in 94, and we had a great move toward missions that year. And Brother Sism, with his wonderful spirit, came in, sat down in my office afterward, and he started talking to me about a network of prayer. And I thought it was wonderful. And I kind of felt like what he was doing. So I said, now, Brother Sism, I have very much responsibility, but I'll be glad to help any way possible. And you know, I was pleased with that. I really meant that. I offered several things that I could do to help. So later, they called a committee and asked me to be on the committee, and I was on the committee. We had some wonderful ideas, good meeting. And then Brother Sism asked my husband if I could do this. And my husband said, well, you'll have to ask her. So he asked me, and I said, well, Brother Sism, let me pray about it, because to me this is a very serious thing, and I couldn't just say, oh, yeah, I'll do that, because I... Not only is it serious, but I also know how much work there is involved in it. And while I was praying about it, I began to get letters. We're so glad you're the new coordinator for the World Network of Prayer. Brother Sism announced it at the regional conference. Anything we can do, let us know. So that's how I came to be here. But I will tell you that the Lord did stir my heart tremendously. And with all that we have going on, I would not have taken it unless I had felt it was the will of God. But I do believe it is the will of God. I'm a workhorse, and I love to work, and it's going to take a lot of work to make this work. So I'm going to give it all I've got, because I think it's the most important thing that we have done in a long time. Now, I have not come here to convince you of the importance of prayer. That's senseless. Neither have I come here to put you on a guilt trip because you're not praying more. Who of us feels like we have ever prayed enough anyway? And I'm not here just to inspire. I have come with more reason than hype, and I have come with more structure than stress for you. This may not be a real hyped up session, and you may get bored before I get through, but I have come here, and one of my principal goals in getting involved in the World Network of Prayer is I have come as a representative to pledge to you more assistance in the effort of evangelizing the world than you have ever had before. To me, that is the primary goal of the World Network of Prayer, is to bring about an assistance that our fellowship has never had in this huge job of evangelizing the world. I have come here for us to envision the potential of what can be done when we really network together in prayer, and to discuss plans of how we can do it. There are three phrases of what I want to talk with you about tonight, and I hope I don't bore you folks. I want to tell you what is the network of prayer. How many of you know? How many of you understand what the network of prayer is? Well, I see two or three half hands and one or two full hands. Have they gotten their cards, Brother Sism? Did you all get the announcement card? Well, the enlistment card will be out very shortly, and things are moving along very well. The World Network of Prayer really is a means by which to employ the powerful potential of not just everybody praying. I truly believe our people pray. But it is to employ the powerful potential of an agreeing, focused prayer, where we come together to agree together for certain things relative to revival and other needs within the body of Christ. The biblical basis for a network of prayer is, whether we often think about this or not, the scriptures basically are written to corporate people. We so often talk about what it says to me, and that's very important. But basically, the scripture is written to a body of people, a corporate group. And the prominence of prayer in the book of Acts is more often in a corporate setting. We've talked about, you know, you've heard, in fact, I feel almost foolish talking to you about prayer. You probably can out-talk me any day on the subject of prayer. But the book of Acts either has a definite reference or an alluded reference of prayer in every chapter. But they're basically all done in a corporate agreeing setting. Not just Brother John over here and Brother Matthew over there and Brother Mark over here, but they were praying together. They continued in prayer. They lifted up their voice. Peter and John went together to pray. The biblical basis for corporate-focused agreeing prayer, Matthew 18:16, in the mouth of two or three, and note this, words are established. Words are powerful. And when two or three are speaking the same word, God says, that establishes it. If you're in agreement with the Word of God and two or three together, Matthew 11:23, it is our Father, and it is give us. Matthew 18:19, if two shall agree, it shall be done. Matthew 9:38, pray ye, therefore, the Lord of the harvest. Acts 12:5, prayer made without ceasing of the church, that's a body. Hebrews 4:16, let us come boldly that we may obtain. So the basis of a network of prayer is to bring us together in a corporate sense where we will agree on focused objects of prayer, focused things. Now, there are so many more things that I could talk to you about, but I'm going to leave what the World Network of Prayer is very shortly, and then we will come back to it at the end of the session, where I would like to discuss with you how it can best work for you. But before we leave that, I would just like to say this. We have for many years serviced every area of our church. We have Sunday school department, we have youth department, we have women's department. I don't know why we don't have a men's fellowship department. We need one. But we have all of these kind of departments. But we have never had a concerted central force of prayer. And I think I'm not saying that in a condemning way, because I think God has his timing, and I will be talking about that later. But we just somehow or other never come to that, but we have come to it now. And your leader, Brother Sism, is the one that had the burden. It came from his heart. He is the seedbed of where this came from. And appropriately so. with the burden of the world on his shoulders. And then Brother Cunningham has joined him so wonderfully. And the two departments, and then Sister Oaks and the auxiliary department have come alongside. And then we're going to be enlisting help from all of the departments. But it is time for us to have a concerted, central network of prayer to service the body of Christ in the powerful potential that is available to us. Our preaching is superb. Our music is absolutely unmatched. Our message is complete. Now we're going to add the potential of what a concerted, and when I say concerted, I mean a concert of people blending together, harmonizing in prayer and agreeing. Now, you know, to just get down to the bare bones of it, we all have so many requests that we could have, like it was said of Jesus almost, the books couldn't contain them. The world couldn't contain the books if we all gave all of our requests. And sometimes we give out so many requests to a group of people that they're overwhelmed with it, and so they pray very little. General prayers are generally powerless. Jesus said, if you want something, ask for it. Ask specifically, and he would do it. So that's what we're going to try to do, is to focus down. The network is going to bring people together with an enlistment form to where there are people in our fellowship who have a real burden for Africa, or a particular country in Africa, or a particular missionary, or their burden for children, or they're concerned about young people. And we're going to categorize that so that their request that will be sent to them will be in the vein of what their spirit is. It also will serve as a clearing board and a clearing place for crisis times, or not just crisis times, but for opportunity times, to where when you're starting a crusade, or you're having some kind of a special thing happen, or a major problem. With the technology we have, we're just a phone call away or a fax away. And now more and more of our churches, and do you realize that once we get this thing working and all put together, that within minutes of a request from a foreign field, it can be in the hands of pastors and prayer warriors all over the world. And praying with a directed force, not just pray for the missionaries. I know you're tired of just saying pray for the missionaries. God probably says, what do you want me to do for them? So we're going to try to make it real specific and get the information out to them. Does this sound good to you? Well, now I want to talk to you about why a world network of prayer now. And I think it's very important for us to understand where we are. We're living in a time of cataclysmic changes. Philosophically, the world has changed drastically. The United States is no longer considered a Christian or Judeo-Christian-based nation. We are post-Judeo-Christian. Philosophies have changed. We're in a time of economic change. Tremendous economic change. In fact, the economic centers of the world are shifting. And you know how much political change is going on. So the world is in a very shaken time, and the whole world system is shaken. But God still has everything in control. God has particular times when he does particular things. You know, seasons are very important with God. Time is very important with God. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, people had waited for years and years. The Savior, the Messiah, how long had they waited? I don't understand all of God's plans. I just know that he has particular times that he does particular things. And we have broad promises and specific promises that there is going to be a mighty outpouring of the Holy Ghost in the last days. And I believe we're living in the last days. I mean, there's no denying it. Historically, a lot of scholars said the last day started with the day of Pentecost or the inauguration of the church. And now, if that's true, we certainly are in a last day frame of living right now. I want to mention a couple of scriptures to you because they're the basis on why I think God has stirred our hearts to have a network of prayer now. 2 Corinthians 6:2, and Paul is quoting from Isaiah 49:8. Paul says, now is the accepted time, and he's quoting from Isaiah. And this is happening. Paul quotes this about 8 years after his major missionary expansion when he went in the 16th chapter of Acts. Then this was about after the 19th chapter when he quoted this in Corinthians. So he was at a place in his ministry, and I hope I can convey this. The New Testament church was burning, blazing. Paul was carrying the gospel. The missionary trips, the missionary expansion had started. But there were people who still could not see that this was really happening, that God was really doing this masterful work in the earth. And we know them as the Judaizers, and they kept trying to hold things back and rein things in. And Paul was saying, hey, look, this is God's time. It has already started, and now is God's time. It is His unique time. It is His special time. The Greek word, I think, and I'm not even sure how you pronounce it, is kairos, but it is a point in time when God designates a particular something is about to take place. Now is the acceptable time. I believe we are living in a very acceptable time with God. Are there any amens? Don't tell me that when 70-something thousand received the baptism of the Holy Ghost in Ethiopia, and we're hearing reports. I mean, just a few years ago, if you had 100 people get the Holy Ghost, that was awesome. We had in Louisiana in this past spring, Spirit 95, 652 people received the Holy Ghost in 5 nights' time. The day of Pentecost, not the day of Pentecost, Pentecost Sunday, There's up to close to 10,000, and there's less than 40% of the churches that have reported. We are seeing something happen, and we cannot miss what God is doing, and we've got to lift our eyes and see the potential of where we are. I haven't come with any downer about how dark the days are, or how we're not praying, or how we're not getting the job done. I have come to say with Paul, it is God's acceptable time. He had acceptable times all the way through history. Tell me why 400 years in Egypt, and then suddenly on one night, he delivers them all, and delivers them not just out of Egypt, but took the riches of Egypt with them. God has his particular times. Paul is quoting from Isaiah, and I want to just pull out a few things here from Isaiah that I think is important. In Isaiah 49, 8 through 12, Isaiah said, "It's an acceptable time that I heard thee." God heard thee. God said, "I will help thee, I will preserve thee, I will give thee for a covenant to the people to establish the earth. I will cause you to inherit the heritages." I'm hung up on the inheritance right now. I've been studying it. He said, You will say to the prisoners, go, to those in darkness, come, make mountains a highway, and the highways will be exalted. He said, people will come from the north, they'll come from the west, and they'll come from Sinem, which is the far east, probably China. Now, you know, and here again, I feel foolish talking to you all, you're scholars yourself, but you know, there are always three ways to interpret Scripture. There was the actual setting, there was the prophetic setting, and there's the personal application. Now, Isaiah said it, Paul quoted it and brought it into the New Testament, and if he quoted it and brought it into the New Testament, then I can expect that I can come into one of those acceptable times when God is going to do something marvelous, because all the other scriptures and promise line up with it. So here we are. We are living in the time of not invasion as much as inheritance. Well, I hope y'all get excited. Abraham and his seed, I had never noticed this until recently. Romans chapter 4, verse 13, they are called the heirs of the world or the earth. I didn't bring the scriptures along because it's been a long deal, and I thought I had them, but I didn't. But I want you to go home and make a study of it. Check out how many times in the Bible that the promises are there that he's going to give us nations, that he is going to save the earth. Now, I know that does not necessarily mean everybody, but he has promised the isles of the sea, the heathen for your inheritance. It's over and over and over and over. God is not frustrated with this world. He has his plan. And Jesus Christ is going to be the heir and ruler over it all. He is going to be the Lord of lords, King of kings, and he is going to have his inheritance in the world and in the saints. So we have come for a time. Scripture says, ask of the heathen. Ask me of the heathen. I'll give them to you. Hosea said, 10 and 12, it is time to seek the Lord. Zechariah said, in the time of rain, ask for rain. And we're living in a time when we're going to take a bolder step than we ever have before. I am so excited, and yet it's an awesome thing. But to think that we could gear this whole church fellowship to where you, while you're alone in some foreign country doing the work, that we could have 100, 200, 500 people pledge to pray specifically for you. Not just bless you, but they need a building, Lord. They need funding, Lord. They need a leader, Lord. They need a whatever they need. It's awesome. And we are living in the time when God is moving in the earth in a way that I believe He's fixing to give the inheritance that we have long sought and waited for. So that's why we need a network of prayer now. It's to cash in on the inheritance. Acts chapter 16, and this, I love this story. Acts chapter 16, I just love the whole chapter there. But I want to mention especially Paul's Kairos, our unique moment. Now, he had been somewhat frustrated. He had been following the Spirit. He thought the Spirit said, go here. And then the Spirit said, no, don't go there. And so he heads over here. He has a vision about a man waiting for him. And all of us have heard that with our missionary calls. We've heard, you know, the feelings that you have of somebody waiting, and then you get there and you can't find them. And then the first thing you know, the man you were waiting for don't show up, but a woman does. Thank God for women. I just had to get that in. I'm sorry. But Paul had had this vision. He had been frustrated. Following the Spirit, he had been frustrated because he thought the Spirit said, go this way. It didn't. It said, go over here. He goes there, gets thrown in prison. And that does not look like such an opportune time. And you have often lived on the mission field, and not just you, wherever we are, we all have lived in our prison of circumstances where it looked like there was not enough funds to get the work done. There were not enough people to get the work done. Totally frustrated. But it was a midnight hour, and we're living in a midnight hour, and something very unique happened. There was an earthquake. There was praise. An earthquake. The foundations were shaken. The doors were opened. The bands were loosed. The sleeping were awakened. There was a quick message. Salvation came. And then there was a tremendous advancement of the kingdom into Europe and the movement westward. And it all happened just like that. Now, figuratively, and you'll just have to bear with me because I get real excited about this. Figuratively, this is where we are. We're living in a midnight time. The doors, it's dark out there. It is terribly dark out there. The whole world is shaken. There is an earthquake going on in this world system like it has never seen before. You don't know what you're going to get up to in the morning. Neither do I. It's a dismal day. It seems like we have been imprisoned, and you can't get your deputational work finished. You can't get your funds raised. Let me tell you something, folks. Prayer and the prayer network is going to make a difference in the funding. We're going to loose the funding. And I am so excited about it, I just have to stop and tell you right now, and I'll pick this up later. We had a wonderful thing happen at our camp meeting this year. In fact, we had three marvelous things happen with our focused prayer. We always have focused prayer every evening. And we had, for one thing, we prayed a strong, focused prayer, a strong prayer. I mean, you pray sometimes, and there are times when you really pray. There was an anointing on it that God would smite the gambling industry that is eating up our state. We got back from New York, and the biggest scandal has broken loose, and they are fixing to indict a bunch of them, and it looks like it's going to totally change that thing around. I was reading it, and my husband said to me, do you remember the prayer we prayed? That it would be smitten, and it is smitten. And then we had Missionary Day. Missionary Day was wonderful, but we didn't do a whole lot of raising the money. You ever been in one of those? No, I'm sure none of you have ever had that experience. But we were very concerned about it. It was very difficult to do home missions and foreign missions and do the things that were necessary and then do what we... And so Brother Jenny and I prayed about it. We talked to Brother Hinkle and Brother Barnes, who helps us with that prayer. And on that evening service, we had the missionaries come out. We prayed for them. And in about 35 minutes, this was not all PIMs. We did have an offering for Calcutta that day, but counting the offering for Calcutta, in about 35 minutes, we raised over $300,000 in pledges. Saved months and months and months of deputational travel for those missionaries. Now, don't think it may happen every time you come to Louisiana, but I'm going to pray that it does. Folks, money's not our problem. Burden's our problem. And there is nothing going to change it but prayer. But when people get to praying, they will give. Do you know that the devil controls the world through money? He controls nations, governments, and individuals through money. And he can control our vision through money. But I know a God who owns all the cattle and the silver and the gold. And I do believe that in a spirit of prayer, you see, I don't know whether you got it or not, but that missionary giving happened during a time of prayer, deep prayer, focused prayer. And then the following night, we had the missionaries come out and had them intercede while the sections of the tabernacle joined with them in intercession. And a spirit of intercession hit that tabernacle like I have not seen. I don't know if I'd ever seen it just like that. Because God is doing a work, folks. And I really believe that he just used that to speak to me, to say, you're on the right track, girl. Just go for it. If we can get our people involved in praying for you folks, praying about your needs, praying about the fact that you need to get back to the field and you've got 12 months of deputational work, you get people to praying, it's going to affect everything about missions giving. Well, back to where I was. Well, I'm feeling better. Are y'all feeling better?
Yeah.
So we're in this midnight time, but we are seeing the shaking, and we're seeing the foundations of the world shaking. But not only is it a time of shaking, but doors are opening. Doors are opening faster than we can get through them. I am amazed. We're seeing bands loosed off of people. And the gospel is advancing in ways that we have never thought it could happen before. When the communism fell, did you know that loosed the second largest people group in the world to hear the gospel? Now, this is one of those things that how many years had we waited? You know, the evil empire, was it going to be the Antichrist come out of it? Now it's a paper tiger. Nothing to it anymore. But God took care of it in one night, practically, just in a matter of days. But now behind that, and I don't know if you know all the stories or not, but I have searched out some of the stories. The first country to fall, communism fell in Romania first, and it happened with a praying church, with a pastor who was daring to pray and his people pray. Now you may say, well, that's not our people. I've got news for all of us. When people pray, God listens. And I'm thanking God for every person anywhere in this world who will name the name of Jesus and pray for revival. That's how it's going to come. When their hearts get opened by prayer, God is going to send that last day outpouring on all people. And they prayed and they prayed and they prayed. In East Germany, there was a group of people that prayed and prayed and prayed. I think they said 29 years, I know of one story. And just weeks before that wall came down, they were in prayer and deep prayer. Now, I was not there. I don't know the people, but I have a friend who knows the people that were there. And all of a sudden, a spirit swept into that prayer meeting, and these people began to pray in tongues in unison. Now, if you don't believe that can happen, then go to Northeast India. They sing in tongues in unison there. And they interceded in tongues for up to like close to 2 hours. At the end of that time, one man prophetically spoke and said that the wall would fall. And it happened within just a matter of a week or two. We are seeing things happen. Doors are opening. Bands are loosed. The gospel is advancing rapidly in places that we never deemed possible before. Russia, where you couldn't even, 70 years they hadn't even seen a Bible. Now their schools are full of it. They have more Bibles in the schools in Russia than we do. Can you imagine what has happened? That is one of God's Kairos moments, His unique moment in history, when things happened that you didn't even think were possible to happen. Back up about 10 or 15 years ago and look at communism and its foreboding bearing down on the world and gobbling up countries. Now it's gone and the gospel is there. The doors have been loosed. The bands of the people have fallen off, and tremendous advancement of the gospel. We're living in the last half of the last decade of this century. That's scary. Now, do you really believe this is the last generation? Well, I got news for all of us. For us, it is. It is our last chance, folks. It is our last chance. And I'm just trying to portray to you that God is doing something magnificent. And that's why the network of prayer is coming into play now, when perhaps it hadn't before. There has been a great movement of prayer among us. We're just fixing to organize it. The women's conferences, the men's conferences, the congresses, all of these things have been moving toward this thing. And now, God, and I believe with all my heart, we are on the verge of things happening that is just going to blow our minds. I just hope we can stretch our minds big enough to receive what God really wants to do. What has happened in the world today is equivalent to what happened in the New Testament church. The breakup of the communist world is equivalent to the breakup of the Roman world. And I love this. I just love to tell this. Rome was just like communism. It was so mean looking, so foreboding, killed all those people, you know, and it was horrible. But you know what? When God got through with Rome's expertise, they were gone. Rome prepared the world to receive the New Testament church. Paul walked and traveled on their roads. He traveled on their shipways. He carried the gospel on the platform that Rome built. And that's where we are right now. The communist world has fallen. When it fell into little countries. Now, nations are not man's idea. Nations are God's idea. Zephaniah 3 speaks of God's idea of nations. Genesis chapter 10, back all the way to Genesis. And I'll tell you something else. Genesis is full of the word nation and nation. Then you get on over in the Word of God, and there's not a whole lot about it. But check Revelation. God is going to return to a national dealing. He's not only going to judge nations, He is going to bring salvation to nations. Now, don't think I'm just saying that. Check the Word of God. It is there, folks. And this is our moment. This is our moment when we can cash in on the inheritance that God wants to give us. And I really believe that we're going to see mammoth groups of people. We already are. It is already happening all around us. So the times demand, absolutely demand, that we have a united strength and a united prayer like we've never had before. Now, another scriptural reference that I want to tell you as to why the time is now. Jesus said, Matthew 24, 6 through 14, that in the time of this international upheaval, He talked about kingdom against kingdom and people against people. He said, during that time, now Jesus said this, during a time of international upheaval and problems like the world has never seen, the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached as a witness. But listen to this, in all the world, all nations, before the end would come. I tell you, I have a hard time behaving when I get to thinking about it. We are living in a wonderful time. And what we've got to do, and I know I live like you live. I'm just as human as you are. You know, we get here and I get all hyped up. We get to talking about the promises of God and we feel so wonderful. We get home and hit the real world. But we're going to have to lift our eyes beyond what we're seeing and see what God has intended. And the promise promises are there, folks. They're there. Not only did Jesus say it, Daniel said, he said the kingdom of God would be displayed while the world was experiencing an ethnic and geophysical conflict. And just before the stone strikes the image, there's going to be all kind of problems. Kingdoms are falling. All those kind of things are happening. But Daniel said three times in Daniel chapter 7 that the saints will take and possess. Troublesome days, problem days, I'm telling you folks, they are also potential days. We are living in the millennial sense. People are everywhere spiritually sensitized right now. Pick up a magazine anywhere. I've got articles, I didn't bring them with me, but I've got them from the Ladies' Home Journal, I've got them from Women's Day, I've got them from Time, I've got them from Newsweek, I've got them from USA Today, all kind of articles. Did you know that Ladies' Home Journal recently carried a story about a man who was healed by prayer and faith? It's everywhere. And angels, the New Age thing. Don't be afraid about the New Age deal. That's just one of God's spotlights. People are becoming spiritually sensitized. It is an opportune time to touch them before the year 2000 and the closer we get to it, because people are scary. They're scary about the turning of this era, this 2000 mark. And I know that it means something, too. I don't know what, and I don't think it may happen on 2000 and the first day, but I know that God is getting ready to do something, and people are open to it. But now Daniel saw all this was going to happen, but now remember this, that Daniel's prayers are what allowed God to act. He opened the avenue for God to move when he prayed. Not until he prayed, but when he prayed, God began to do something. The promises of God are there, but they're not automatic. They have to be prayed into fulfillment. And Daniel prayed and sought the Lord. And we are living in a time that is, it's just like that. The time of the nations and the time of things happening. The kingdoms against kingdom, nation against nation. It is a time of breakup. Yugoslavia. I went to Yugoslavia. There is no more Yugoslavia. It's Serbs and Croats and Bosnian and, you know. But God, I do believe. What he's doing is he's putting back people back in their own people groups. Now the reason, and Paul said this. Paul said that he referred to the nation that it would be a time and a way that God would deal with people. Y'all believe that? We're having it happen in America. We have got more trouble between ethnic people now than we have ever had in our history, just about. And that all of this is part and parcel of what is happening with God and his plan. Now, I want to introduce you to a thought here that is just, it's thrilled me. But before I do, let me just tell you that since World War II, we have had 100 new republics. Fully 60% of all nations have been established, most of them by war and blood. And the last 50 years, more boundaries have changed than in all previous history. God's doing something. He's grouping people together. He's also moving them into cities. The world is moving into cities. Mega cities. I mean, people by millions. I look at Brother Dross, Mexico City. But have you ever considered that God may have a reason for all these things? You know, he's in control. How much easier with all of the technology that we have, the printing and all this business that we can do now, how much easier to reach people within a confine of a city than if they were scattered out over millions of miles? You can reach more people with less workforce when they're concentrated. And he sent 70 unnamed disciples out into the villages to where the people were. And he said, for this reason, you go because I'm coming. They went, but before they went, their first instructions were, pray ye that the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers into the harvest. For the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Now, I think we have too long looked, and for good reason, looked at the hopelessness of too few laborers. And that's a downer. But there's a positive side of that, too. I don't care how few the laborers are, he has said there's truly a great harvest. And he is the Lord of the harvest. And the harvest does belong to him. And I don't know how he's going to get it, but if it's God's harvest, he's not going to lose it, friend. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm telling you, I don't. But I just look at these things and I think, oh God, this is our time. We've got to give it all we've got. And I know you're giving it everything you've got, but what I'm going to help you do is I'm going to line up the supply lines behind you to where we can pray into fulfillment these awesome promises that God has given us. Before you despair over the lack of laborers, rejoice in the fact that he said it's a great harvest. It is truly a great harvest. And he said, don't worry about it. I'm the one in charge. I'm the Lord of the harvest. Now, you know, it's two ways to look at it. Worry ourselves to death, and I've done my share, because we didn't have more people. We didn't have more money. We lacked this, and we lacked that, and we lacked the other. I would imagine the children of Israel were very, very concerned the night before they left Egypt, too. How are we going to get out? What will we eat? What about little Susie? What about Grandpa? What about Grandma? How are we going to get this done? I don't know how it's going to happen, but I know this. He said, I am going to pour out my spirit on all flesh, and it's a guaranteed thing. He is going to have a harvest. And when the scripture said, ask for the heathen, ask for the nations, that's not talking about me and you. That was speaking of Jesus Christ himself. And if they have been given to him as an inheritance, he's going to have them, friend. So I'm just going to start, and I'm going to try to help our people across our fellowship say, we don't know how it's going to happen. We don't know when it's going to happen, but it is going to happen. And so we're going to help pray. And while they're out there advancing the borders of the kingdom alone, two by two, that's how he sent them. And furthermore, he said, you go your way. You split up. You go in a different direction. You go here. You go here. You go there. But they went. And they went with prayer first. We've often used that scripture, first of all, prayer. And I love it. It's beautiful. But there's two other parts of that that's very important to remember. First of all, prayer, Paul said, that all men pray for all men. That means mankind everywhere. Verse 8 of that same chapter says, all of you praying. Every man in every place praying. Now that's what the network is about, folks. We got to pray for the whole world. How do you pray for the whole world? You don't just say, God bless the world. But you've got to pray specifically. Oh God, here is a country, this missionary, I am praying. Let the mind of Christ be in him today. Let the eyes of vision of God be with him today. Guide his footsteps today, Lord. Strengthen his shoulders. Strengthen his hands. Direct his path. Lead him to the key people of the city. There are key people in every city. And God is willing to help us if we will ask. I apologize to you that we have been negligent in organizing a concerted effort to back you up. But we're ready to do it now. And I think it is God's unique point, his point in time. A few years ago, to think of millions receiving the Holy Ghost was a far off idea somewhere. But it is not beyond reason. Now, they tell us that there will be more people speak with tongues in the baptism of the Holy Ghost in the 90s than in the last 50 years. That blows my mind. I mean, they say Christianity is on the greatest escalating curve since the days of the Reformation. Do y'all see where we are? This is awesome. the greatest curve since the Reformation. And not only are we on that particular curve with all Christianity spreading around the world, but with it is coming an awakening of the Holy Ghost experience. People everywhere are getting the Holy Ghost. I don't know whether it's happening in your part of the country or not, but we've had a tremendous stir among the Baptist churches at home. Unusual things happening. My son-in-law had a Baptist pastor come over to his house and hungry for the Holy Ghost, and they prayed with him, laid hands on him, he fell out on the floor, started speaking with tongues. Now he lost his church. But he's still holding on to his experience. God is going, you know, so I believe that we've got to see. So in Luke 10, they prayed. He encouraged them. He said, there are a few laborers. There are just 70 of you. But he said, it's a great harvest. It's my harvest. You go get it. Now, they didn't get a whole lot of instructions except to go and bless and pray. And that's what they did. You know, we sometimes cloud the whole purpose of the church. The purpose of God in the earth has never changed. It was stated to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. He said, I'm calling you out. You're going to be mine. So that was the beginning of God's called out ecclesia, or the beginning of a church. And he said, your purpose is to bless all the families of the earth. Now, you know what they did when they went out? They went in the homes. Their purpose was to go to prepare the way for Jesus to come. To prepare a welcome for Jesus, not resistance. Now, I'm not going to say a whole lot about that. But you know, a blessing to a people makes them more receptive than anything else. And when you go into a place, or like they did, talking about in Luke 10, they went into a place, they started laying hands on the sick, and they were healed, and they started blessing, and they started fellowshipping and eating with them. And to their utter amazement, they had power over the demons too. And when they returned to Jesus, there is a description of him rejoicing that is never given any other time in the scripture. If you check your original language, when it says that he rejoiced, it literally means he danced. He jumped up and down. He clicked his heels. He was so excited. That word rejoice is very significant and uniquely used there. Jesus showed more enthusiastic response to the 70 coming back with their report than any other record in his whole ministry. Why? Could it have been that these 70 people were prophetically, pictorially, meaning that the gospel was going to reach the nations of the world, and Jesus saw the fulfillment of what he had come to earth to do from the simple efforts of disciples going in and blessing and healing and blessing and healing and blessing and healing? And they said, Jesus, the devils are subject to us. He said, I saw him fall like lightning. Now, he may have been referring back, but Ellicott says that he actually was saying to the disciples, Ellicott is a scholar of the original language, he said Jesus actually was referring to the fact that as they went, he watched with his godlike gaze and saw them, and as they entered in to bless the people, they toppled Satan from his ruling position in the villages and the cities. And again, he fell like lightning, because he falls fast when the power of God comes. Now, if that was indicative, if that is a pictorial thing, and I don't know that it is, but I'm just saying that the 70 is important. There were 70 people that went down into Egypt. There were a number of 70 situations in the scripture. But at this particular time, there were 70 nations in the world. And Jesus, for some reason, was so excited over what happened. Now, we're living there, folks. We're living there. Where the gospel is more, the world is more receptive to the gospel now than it has ever been. I mean, I stand on airplanes and pray for people. I sit in plane seats and talk to somebody across the aisle who has their Bible open. You never saw that before. People are open to the gospel. And even the frantic crisis of people's life makes them open to the gospel right now. So that's where we are. We're in the time of the latter part of the latter rain. And I'm going to be like Zechariah. I'm going to ask for a thunderstorm right here in the middle of the downpouring of the latter rain. I would to God we could get this prayer thing moving so much that when we come back for next school of missions, the reports would be more than we could even comprehend. Now, you may not be able to touch every little part of it, but I don't care. If God does it, so be it. It's His inheritance. I'm just a servant. You're just a servant working in the field, and I believe He is going to do it. Well, praise God. Praise God. Let me encourage you by telling you that research has told me that we are living in amidst the time when there's more prayer going on in the world than has ever gone on in the history of the world. You may say, you mean more than in the first century? Yeah, more than in the first century. For one thing, there weren't 5 billion, almost 6 billion people in the world then. People who keep up with these things tell us there are now 170 million people who have committed on the line, signed their name, that they are praying for God to visit this world in revival. Now, I know that I may be treading in dangerous territories there, but let me tell you what God said to me when I was contemplating it. He said, I have heard you say before that the battle is not yours, but it's mine. And He said to me, revival is not yours either. It's mine. It's His harvest. And if there's 170 million people that are praying, then I want those who know what the name of Jesus really is, I want us to take a lead in praying for our missionaries out there like we have never prayed before. Of that 170 million, 20 million of them say their principal call is to be an intercessor. There are over 10,000 registered prayer groups in the United States. 114 denominations are banding together and praying, God, send a revival to our church. Do you know that's how we came about? That's how we came about. It's when the Holy Ghost fell in other churches. And here we are. And I think that is what's happening with the Baptist church right now. I think they have been praying. Have they had trouble? You better believe they've had trouble. Has God confused their tongue to get them out of their ivory tower? You know they have had, they make the headlines when they have a general conference about all their fighting and politics and everything. And the people are distressed. And they are praying, God, do something. Now, anytime we build us an ivory tower and get in it, God's going to send confusion among us because that's not His purpose. His purpose is go your way and you go your way and go into the villages and touch the people and heal and tell them that the kingdom of God has come. I'm speaking to the United Methodist Women next week. I have no earthly idea why. They said, tell us about world missions. And what is happening in the world. And I'm going to tell them that people by the millions are getting the Holy Ghost. They invited me. They know what I am. They know who I am. But why are they interested? Folks, it's a time that God is moving in this world like we have never seen Him move before. He is going to draw kings. He is going to draw mighty men. He is going to pull people in that you had never, ever even thought was possible. Now, I know that you probably have already talked some about the 1040 window, but I just have to mention it. When the communism fell, the second largest block of unevangelized people, now, years and years and years and years ago, Russia even had so-called Christianity, but then for 70 years, they had none of it. But in the 1040 window, which I presume all of you know, it's that stretched band across where all of the Muslims are, it's the Muslim world. Did you know 95% of the unevangelized people of the world live in that one area? Do you know how much missions money, Christian missions money, is spent there? 0.5% Over 3 billion people live in that belt. And you know what's going to happen? It's going to happen there, and it's going to happen in China, folks, just as sure as the world. God is not going to overlook those masses of people that are massed together in a nation. There is going to come a mighty outpouring of the Holy Ghost. In China, we don't know, but they tell us, what is it, Brother Sism, 25,000 a day or something like that that's coming to know the Lord one way or another. And I want you remember this, the Philippian jailer believed first. Just let them call on the name of Jesus. We'll pray them through to the rest of it. I think we can, don't you? If they're open and they're hungry, and so we are seeing these things happen. Well, God is, you know, and I hope that I hope I'm not boring you with this, but I'm trying to get you to see the world as God is seeing it right now. The Gulf War, to me, it was God's joke. It wasn't a war. There was nothing to it. But you know what he did? He cracked the Muslim world. All of a sudden, who would ever dream it? Who would ever dream that that's the way God would do it? But we had our own UPC chaplains in there baptizing people. And the Muslim world has never, ever been the same. There are churches that are growing. There are churches that are flourishing. Because that has got to come under the dominion of the inheritance of God. It is going to happen. It is happening. And I am thanking God for it. Well, I don't know when China's going to open, but I want to go. I mean that. I do. People are getting the Holy Ghost all over the communist world. All over the communist world. We couldn't keep up with it if we wanted to. And you may say, well, Sister Tenny, I'm worried about you. I'm afraid you're falling, you're a little loose on the doctrine. No, I'm not loose on the doctrine. Let me tell you what's going to happen. There was a time when they didn't even recognize the Holy Ghost experience as being valid. But it is now. Well, if he's done that, is he not able to take them all the way? In the light, there in the evening, there is going to be light. There is going to be a revelation. There is going to be an awesome thing happen. And he's going to do a quick work. I think we're going to have to see baptism services by the thousands. I told y'all I didn't come with a sad tale. I'm telling you, I believe that God is going to do exactly what he said. I want to tell you a story. I don't even know if I've told any of you this or not, but it's another one of those things that I don't know the people, and I don't tell stories that I'm not sure of, but I know the people who know the people. We're seeing a revival of that among children. And furthermore, we are not harnessed children's prayers like we can. There's no purer prayer in the world than a child's prayer. So I wanted you to see this little thing. They took, if you know anything about the big meeting they had in Korea this year, this group that puts these children's things out took 40 children from over the world over there to pray with the 120 intercessors that prayed 24 hours a day during that meeting. And I think this is awesome. This is a little globe, soft feeling. And it's to teach children to love the world and pray for it. It's called catch the vision, get global, and you pass it. The children throw it to another child, and they hug the world and pray for all the children their age. And then as you move on down, you teach them to pray for all the children in Argentina their age, and pray for all the children in Korea their age, and pray for all the children wherever their age. And then there's a little ball that goes along with it. I'm going to be promoting this throughout our fellowship with children, whether they use these or not, I don't care. But this little, it's not really a ball, it won't bounce. It's a little foam rubber thing. And they take this home with them. They can have one they're setting for themselves. And they are taught that they can make an impression or they can touch the world and make a difference if they pray for it. And when you squeeze it, your imprint is left on it. Isn't that neat? Now, you know, this is something we've never done before, Brother Tracy. Thousands of children. Can you imagine how God would be pleased to hear the voices of little children in prayer? That's part of his coming. When he came to Jerusalem, when he came again, the children were crying, Hosanna, Hosanna. Then in addition to that, there is this prayer wheel that they can use for children. This is something you can do even on mission field. And there's different things. There's a little wheel spinner thing here, and the children spin it, and then whatever it lands on, each child prays for that. They take their turn. It's a way to teach children prayer. To me, prayer is more than just getting all in high Z and King James English. The disciples, they said, teach us to pray. And I think Jesus talked pretty rational when he taught them to pray. And I want to teach how to pray and teach our, a lot of our frustration with prayer is because we don't know how to pray. And we get down and mutter for our, now maybe, I'm not talking about you, but I'm talking about a lot of our people really sincerely do not know how to pray. And instead of, so we're going to give them some structure of how to pray. You tell somebody to go pray an hour and they don't know what to pray for, you run out of bless me pretty quick. But if you've got a list, and I pray with a list, you pray right down that list, you can pray 2 hours. In fact, sometimes I prayed driving over here, and I ran out of road before I ran out of prayer. So if you know what to pray for, and that's what we've got to do is to teach our people. Then I brought this along because I know a lot of time in the field, and I don't know if you can use this or not, but you start with children or you have an impact on children. Any of you remember, are you old enough to remember the Wordless Book? Who remembers that? Oh, I'm so glad somebody remembers that. It was child evangelism did it years ago. My heart was black of sin until the Savior came in. His precious blood, I know, has washed me white as snow. And you taught by those colors. Well, this is the updated version, The Secret of the Watermelon. It's got all the same colors in it. It's just a little tiny booklet. And, of course, they don't teach it like we would, but all you've got to do is add it in there. But it really is a unique thing. And this is coming out of World Concern of Praying Children. And we're not going to be a whit behind them. We're going to catch up with them and pass them. One other thing I'd like to show you, and this is the book that Brother and Sister Rodenbush had, Sister Judy Dowdy, put this together. And I am begging her to get it printed. It is an awesome little book. They rode on the trains and subways and walked the streets of Russia. And it's called Spiritual Warfare Prayer by Sister Judy Dowdy. And I'm telling you, to pray through this book, you could take hours, hours, and it's pure scripture. It's just the Word of God. Now, you can't beat praying the Word of God. He is not obligated to my words about His Word, but He is obligated to His Word. And I'd like for you to see this, and I'm hoping that either she will print it or somebody will print it and put it, make it available to our people. Thank you so much. I'll answer any questions or please give me advice as to how to best serve you in the foreign field.